Well, those of you that were here last Sunday were blessed by the preaching ministry of Adam Schenck, but I'm glad to be back again this morning and trust that in the grace of God I can be his servant for our hearts today. And I do want to continue our study in John's Gospel. So we pick up this morning by turning to John chapter 5, looking at verses 24 to 30. For the sermon that I've entitled simply, Everlasting Life. Now, as I read this passage, just a reminder again, let's keep in mind that these are the words of Jesus. We do need to listen and respond to what he is saying. So here we are in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 24. Thank you, John. John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not speak my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, there are a number of themes that are connected to this matter of everlasting life. But we want to take a closer look at three in particular, one being the entire matter of hearing and believing the Word of God. Hearing and believing the Word of God. And then we want to ponder the matter of passing from death to life. We want to think about what that involves, what that entails. And then we'll end up with looking at more the entire thing of coming out of the grave. Wow, there's some incredible stuff ahead for you and I. But let's start with the matter of hearing and believing God's word. So Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Verse 24. So then, what are people listening to these days? Who are they listening to? What voices are they listening to? What is it that is really having an influence on folks, guiding them in their decision-making? You know, there was an interesting article in the front page of this last Tuesday's USA Today. The caption was, Nation's Moral Compass Resets in Trump Era. Now, let me share just the first three verses, because this is not intended, this is not a politicalized kind of thing at all here. But first three, did I say verses? Boy, this preacher is really getting into okay. What is happening to my country? If you've asked this question, you're likely not alone. As America has grown more diverse, more secular, and more polarized, its moral compass has become harder to tune to a true north, with no particular voice emerging as a moral authority. Now, Aliyah Dastagar, who wrote that article, was maintaining that there is a moral vacuum that exists in our country. And I'm here to say this morning that the Church of Jesus Christ has the moral compass that is so desperately needed in our day. It's the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. It's the Bible. And if people want to tune to a true north, then they need to turn to those ancient words. And it's like the psalmist put it before the Lord as he was declaring, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, from Psalm 119:105. And he said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Do we rejoice in that as well? Do we see the scriptures and the word of God as being a great treasure? Now, some of you undoubtedly watched the news as they reported the latest school shooting. I wonder if you heard the assessment that was given by the governor of Texas. I just happened to catch that newscast, that TV broadcast, and I was like, wow. He was maintaining that the issue was not so much, you know, that people have guns available, but that he was saying that too many people don't have the Word of God in their hearts. Too many people don't have the Word of God in their hearts. Now, again, some people would make that to be a political statement, but I think he's right on target. Too many people don't have the Word of God in their hearts. Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." And so that always begs the question then, have you and I heard the word? Have we responded to the word? Have we passed from spiritual death to spiritual life? And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But in Romans 10, 8 to 10, we read, what does it say? The word which is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when a person hears the gospel and believes the gospel to the extent that they act on it, it becomes life-changing. And it transforms an individual in the best possible way. And yes, Governor Abbott, the word has often taken a person from a life of crime to a life of Christ. It's been life-changing. And that can happen, and would to God that it would happen more and more. That's what is needed. But I have a question. I have a question for those of you, for those of us that have been a believer for a long time. Do you continue to hear the word of God and believe it? Do you continue to hear the word of God and believe it? Or does the word tend to go in one ear and out the other, so to speak? Here's what James said will constitute a life of blessing. A life of blessing. And I'm turning now to James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is the individual that will be blessed in what they do, James is saying. We're reminded this morning that the way of blessing comes through faith in Christ, but the faith in Christ that is spoken of in the scriptures is not just pressing the like icon on some spiritual Facebook page. It involves faithfulness to Christ. It is hearing the word of God. It is believing the word of God. It is responding to and acting upon the word of God. Well, let's move on then to what I said would be the second matter that we want to, theme that we want to ponder this morning, and that is this thing of passing from death to life. I wonder what you would identify if I ask you what one of the most significant transactions were that you ever made in life. Excuse me. Was it buying or selling real estate, perhaps? Now, I remember so well buying our first house that we had, that old two-story house on Kenilworth Avenue, 863 Kenilworth in Coshocton, Ohio. Just 3 years after we were married, and I know it was an older house, and these days $33,900 doesn't sound like a whole lot of money for a house, but it was a big step for us. I think I gulped a little bit, given the fact that we had no down payment, and the interest rate written on this mortgage at that point was, get this now, 13%. It's almost laughable these days, isn't it? But that's what the case was for us at that particular point in time. Now, I suppose for some of you, the major transaction is buying a new vehicle. Some people buy new vehicles, almost the price of we had paid for our house. But I bought a new vehicle, too. Didn't pay cash for it at that point, but I bought a 1975 Chevy Nova right off the showroom floor there in Omaha, Nebraska. That's right. Paid $3,500 for it. Got a $200 rebate, which meant I was able to buy an AM/FM stereo to put in that thing. Wow, that was something. It didn't come with a radio, you see. But anyway, it doesn't matter what they were. Those transactions that at one point seemed so significant pale in comparison to what Jesus was talking about. So notice again the last part, the second part of verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has what? Has passed from death unto life. That's quite a transaction. Because of sin, a person has a death sentence hanging over them. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. Another thing I happened to catch on the news this past week was that there was a renewed concern about the Ebola virus in certain parts of the world. Did you catch that as well? While that is a legitimate concern, we ought to be even more concerned, though, about the sin virus. The virus that has spread worldwide. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So because of Adam's disobedience, sin ended up spreading throughout the entire human race, infecting and affecting all of us, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But I'm so glad that I don't need to, and really nobody needs to, remain spiritually dead. I'm so glad that God provided an answer to the problem of sin. And I'm so glad that God made a way. I'm so glad that God made it possible for you and I to pass from death to life. And as we've already noted, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, say that with me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we turn to Jesus, everything changes. I may have quoted this before, but I really like the way John Peterson puts it, his testimony, if you will, in the song Heaven Came Down, second stanza. Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made when, as a sinner, I came to took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me. Oh, praise his dear name. In the chorus he said, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Is that your testimony as well? Have you passed from death to life? In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, it makes it clear that everlasting life is God's desire for us through faith in Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's an incredible blessing. God wants you and I to have assurance of eternal life. He wants us to be confident of our standing with him. But for that to be the case, we need to keep our eyes on Christ. And we need to continue to believe in him, in his name, continue to trust him. We need to continue to walk with him. Well, let's move on now to the third theme from our text, and that is coming out of the grave. You know, we've pondered the matter of hearing and believing God's word and of passing from death to life, but let's reflect now about this matter of a person coming out of the grave, and it's picking up with what Jesus said in our text in verses 25 to 29. So let's look at that again. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Then he went on to say, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. We'll just stop there. What Jesus said here, think about it, what Jesus said here shoots holes in some of the perspectives that people have had over the years. It debunks, for example, the entire notion of annihilation. Some people have the idea, the mistaken notion, that upon death a person simply ceases to exist. So they maintain that it's the end of the story when a person takes their final breath. But that's not the case. Not the case at all. A human being has a beginning but has no ending. The Bible and Jesus taught that no human being can kill the soul. Jesus said the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Now, the text we're looking at also debunks the entire notion of universalism. Some people maintain that in the end, somehow everything's going to turn out just fine, no matter what. They argue that a loving God wouldn't send somebody to hell, as they put it. They suggest that God's mercy will somehow trump everything else. But that's not the case. In Matthew 25, verse 16, Jesus spoke of individuals that will go away into everlasting punishment. And in verse 29 of the passage we're looking at today, he talked to people who are in the grave, that will hear his voice, that will come forth unto what? Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, but those that have done evil, he said, to the resurrection of condemnation. So those that have not passed from death to life in the present had a dreadful forever waiting for them. I'm not sure that the impact of that totally registers with us. And that's not really what I'm focusing on this morning, but nevertheless, we ought not just to gloss over that. On the other hand, those that have passed from death to life have a wonderful forever waiting for them. Or we're part of a wonderful forever. In our text, Jesus spoke of the resurrection of life for certain individuals. Now, what will happen for those that have received the gift of eternal life? I'd like you to notice what the Bible says, and I'm turning now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where I'm picking up with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, that is talking about those that have died. Don't be ignorant concerning those that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. There we go, Brother Jim. You were talking about hope, were you not? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This may not be on the screen, but the verse 18 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Encourage each other, brothers and sisters, with these words. So, what does the future entail for those that have everlasting life? We are going to fly away. This time it's not going to be on a 737. It's not going to be Southwest Airlines. It's not going to be administered by some air traffic control person. It's going to be directed by the Lord of the universe. And we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Not only are we going to fly away, but we're going to be with the Lord forever. Reminds one of the Hallelujah chorus, doesn't it? Forever and ever. What is it going to be like? What exactly will we be doing? You know, how different will things be? As human beings, it's natural to have lots of questions. Will it be golf courses, you know, all this stuff? We don't need answers to all of our questions. It should suffice to know that heaven will be a place of absolute perfection, and that being with the Lord forever will be a thing of absolute delight. Can we, at least for the moment, just delight in that? A place of absolute perfection and with one where things will be an absolute delight. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you and thank you for what you have made available for us in Christ. Thank you for reminding us of these things today from the Scriptures. And we are grateful, Lord, for your gift to us, the gift of eternal life. And for those who have not passed from death to life, please continue to draw them to convict them, to open their hearts and minds, to help them to take that step of faith. Help us as we continue to bear witness unto your saving grace and unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do praise you and thank you for who you are, for that which you have done, and for that which you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I would say, fasten your seatbelts, but...